In the name of Jesus, amen. Good morning, Emmanuel, and all others who are viewing this online, which I guess is all of you. Are you staying safe? Or maybe I should ask the question, are you staying sane? Because I just can only imagine if you have children at home and being cooped up in the house, it's just got to be something day after day after day. People are calling me and texting me and saying, Pastor, how long is this going to go on? When do we get back to normal? Will we have worship on Easter? And I wish I had the answers for all those questions, but what I can offer you this morning, and the reason we're gathered together, is that ultimately I can give you through what's in the Bible, what God says, words of hope. And isn't hope this? The assurance of things not seen. And I don't think of any place better to derive hope than from what we've been looking at these past several weeks. In the 23rd Psalm, we have hope to get rest under stress. God's arms of comfort as we're walking through the valley of the shadow of death. He's there to give us a banqueting table to feed us with everything we need when we're under the trials and tribulations of the wily foe and all the enemies around us. He leads us beside the still waters. He restores our soul. He pours the oil of healing upon us for restoration. And now, almost as an afterthought, as an asterisk, we come to the very last verse of Psalm 23, verse 6, and he says, almost as an afterthought, he says, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's humongous. That's a game changer. And so when we talk about heaven, I mean, it's sort of like winning a grand prize in a TV quiz show, and you're given a 3-year supply of Dorito corn chips, and oh, by the way, the host says, you get 3 houses to eat it in. This is how I take it. We get all these other wonderful promises of the goodness of God, and then at the very end, oh, by the way, I want you to live with me forever and ever and ever and ever. That is what's being said here, and that's the hope that we offer today. Because as I said last week, we're going to talk a bit about heaven this morning. And in doing so, I want to answer 3 questions that come to mind about heaven. What is it? What's different about it? What are we going to do when we get there? I mean, we got all eternity to do it. We better know something of that too. So let's get started. What is heaven? Listen to Ephesians, Paul's letter, chapter 2. It is through grace that we've been saved, and God in heaven to show for all the ages to come God's goodness to us is because of Christ. No, he doesn't just say, I'm going to help you when you're down. I'm going to relieve you when you're stressed. I'm going to heal you and make you feel comfortable. In addition to all this, he says, I want you to live with me after you die. I want you to be my child. I want you to be part of my family forever and ever. And that's phenomenal. God's goodness is not time-dated. It's forever. You know, when I was a kid, I didn't think much about heaven, to tell you the truth. I don't think kids do. And there are probably a couple, 3 reasons why I didn't. Number one, heaven was for old people. It was way off. And I was young, and I was energetic, and I had my moped, and I was driving around, and I was having a great time. You know, just like these young people in the Florida beaches right now. The coronavirus is at your doorstep. They say, oh, it won't affect me. They're invincible. Well, that's how you feel when you're young. You don't think about heaven, pie in the sky, by and by, no. Secondly, everybody I knew was alive. They weren't in heaven. Everybody I knew, my parents, my grandparents, my friends at school, everybody, they were all on earth. So my attention was what's happening here and now, here on earth. And the third reason is because every time I saw pictures about heaven on TV or the news, it kind of looked boring to me, tell you the truth. I mean, it was all in white, no color. I couldn't even see my feet. There were like clouds on the fog. I was in the fog. Maybe wings. You don't have wings when you're in heaven. That's angels. And then what do? And someone says, well, you're going to play a harp and listen to Bach all day. You know, I'd rather go to hell than do that. Tell you the truth, I want a baseball. I want to have some fun. And so for me, when I was a kid, heaven was not something that I was really looking forward to a whole lot. But those are misnomers. That's not at all like what heaven's going to be like. So I was talking to my confirmation class. These are junior high, getting into puberty type kids. And we're talking about heaven. And they're going through the same stuff I did. And I said, no. You talk about heaven, you got to think about what's the most fun thing you could ever imagine doing. Made a mistake. Kids that age, when you think about the most fun thing that they could be doing, they all start blushing. They all started blushing. And I thought, oh, boy. I guess continue. So it's going to be 1,000 times better than that. Because in heaven, it's going to be pure joy and pure love. It's going to be a warmth and a glow when you enter into heaven. When Jesus takes you, the angels take you through the valley of the shadow of death, and you're on the other side, that transfer into the kingdom of glory, and you view for the first time the Lord Jesus Christ on his throne, and surrounded by the angels and archangels, and all your godly heritage, the whole company of heaven, going all the way back to Adam and Eve. I mean, you just are flabbergasted in a way that we can't even imagine now, because we see through a glass darkly today, but then we'll see face to face. Now we know in part, then we'll know fully as we're fully known. Do you remember in John chapter 3, that famous chapter that says God so loved the world? It starts out with Nicodemus coming to Jesus. And he's asking him about the kingdom of heaven. And it goes like this. Jesus says, I have spoken to you of earthly things and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Nicodemus couldn't even fathom in his pea-sized brain how the wind blew, let alone could he grasp what it was going to be like in heaven. And so we're limited to metaphors that the Bible speaks about when we try to describe what it's like in heaven. But the Bible does give us some clues. And I'll give them to you in three sentences. Now, if you have downloaded, and in our emmanuelclovis.org, you have the ability to download today's bulletin. You can download it, and there are notes. You can follow along. There's something for the children, too, so you're aware of that. Here's the first thing. Heaven is a physical place. It's not just a state of being. You're not going to nirvana. You're not entering an altered state of mind. It is a physical place. How do we know it's a physical place? Because Jesus says, there are many rooms in my Father's house, and I'm going to prepare for you. I'm coming back and take you to myself, and if it were not true, I would have told you. So there is going to be a dominion, a place, a kingdom that we will live with the Lord, and with our resurrected physical bodies, with Christ's physical body forever and ever. The Lord's going to give you a deluxe condo someplace, and you don't have to pay the rent. And you're going to get everything you need, and it's going to go forever and ever. And that's the second part. It lasts for all eternity. 2 Corinthians 5 says, it will be a home in heaven that will last forever. Ephesians 1:10 says, this is God's purpose, that when the time is right, he'll gather his children together from wherever we are, to be with him in Christ forever. How long is forever? It's a long, long time. For the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years. 1,000 years like a day. And so when you go to heaven with your soul, your spirit, your mind, your spirit, you immediately go into heaven upon death. It's appointed unto man once to die, and then comes the judgment. And since there is eternity in heaven, you don't wait and wait and wait for all your loved ones, and you're just worried about them. In heaven, there's no such thing as time. And so immediately, it's the judgment day, and you're all reunited, and your bodies are reunited with your souls, and you have a glorified body like Christ's resurrected body. That's what's going to be in heaven for all eternity. And third, it's reserved for only God's family. Not everybody gets to go to heaven. Most people, as a matter of fact, are choosing not to go to heaven. Because you see, the Bible says that to get to heaven, we need to receive the gift of God that is in Christ, wherein our sins are forgiven, so that we can become God's child and enter into eternal life with God. In heaven, it's perfect. Imperfection cannot enter heaven. And we, from conception and birth, are sinful. And the Bible says that our only inclination from birth is to run away from God. It says that in 1 Corinthians that we are blind to God. We don't hear what God has to say, and we openly are in rebellion to God's purposes. And so those who decide not to pay attention to God during their life, in the next life will have a continuation of that. They will be forever shut out from God, because that has been their inclination from day one. To complicate this even more, the Bible declares that we cannot by our own reason or strength believe in the Lord Jesus Christ or come to him. And so because our only choice, our only free will is to run away from God, then who can be saved? None of us are perfect, and none of us have an inclination to go toward God of our own human nature. Well, that's where God's mission plan comes in. God knew that a perfect person would have to take away the sins of the world. And so God himself came in the form of a human being. His name is Jesus of Nazareth. He's mentioned in the Bible. He's 100% God, and he's 100% human. And because he had no sin, he didn't need to die, but he died. And he died for the sins of the world. He paid the sacrifice for your sin and mine, past, present, and future sins, for the whole world. And that's why later on in John 3, it would say, God loved the world, not just certain people. So the question still remains, well, how do we get that salvation if our inclination is not to receive it? Jesus says, I am going to send you my Holy Spirit. And that's that Holy Spirit who comes through the means of grace, through the word that we're talking about and looking at right now. It's knocking at our heart at this very minute. And it's only by the Holy Spirit entering into our heart that we have the capacity to receive that forgiveness and to believe in that forgiveness and to attain salvation. So it's all God's doing. From beginning to end, his love and his goodness knows no bounds, so that I can dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And then in the book of Revelation, it says, chapter 21, verse 27, only those whose names are written in the book of life will be able to enter. Your name's got to be written in the book of life. And it's written in the book of life the moment you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what you've done or where you've come from. It doesn't matter how perfect or imperfect you are, because it's not based on us. It's based on Jesus and what he's done for us. And if we trust him, your name is written in the book of life, and you will receive as a certainty heaven as your home. Some people say, well, maybe I'll think about it a little later. Maybe I'll think about it after I die. Well, you can't think about it after you die. It's appointed unto once to die, and then comes the judgment. You see, you can only have your name written in the book of life while you're still alive. You need an advance reservation. It's only for this life that it counts, or you don't get in. Next question, how is heaven different from earth? Now, that's a very difficult question. And yet we can see some things. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 9, that we looked at a little bit last week, it says this, no eye has ever seen, no ear has ever heard, and no mind has ever imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. Heaven is going to be so unlike anything we've ever seen before The Bible says you can't even imagine it. I can't really explain it because I haven't been there, but I can tell you a few things that won't be in heaven. In Revelation 21 that we read, it says there is no temple there. Why no temple? Because the Lord God is everywhere. You don't need a temple. There's going to be no sun or moon. Why no sun or moon? Because the Lord is going to provide the light himself. There are going to be no shut gates in heaven. Why? There's no crime. No keys in heaven. You don't have to lock and unlock things. No gates in heaven. You don't have to worry about people coming in and sin in heaven. There's no night there. There's nothing impure. There's no immorality. There's no shame. There's no deceit. And here in Revelation 21:4, it says, God will wipe away all tears from their eyes. There's no tears in heaven, no death in heaven, no sorrow in heaven, no more pain in heaven. All of it's gone. Now, can you imagine a place with no tears and no pain and no sorrow and no more death? Everything wonderful. You don't have to worry about your arthritis. You don't have to worry about your problems that you've had physically or emotionally or mentally. All because of the goodness of God. Now, I've been sitting at home all week thinking about this. And so I just took an alphabet and I went A to Z. I went A to Z and I sort of put together in the alphabet things that I'm grateful won't be in heaven. And I want to give you a list and I'm going to do some of it and then I'm going to have you as homework. I'll have you do some of it, okay? I'm going to start with the letter A. I'm glad and grateful that this won't be in heaven. There won't be any accidents, aches, anxiety, acne, or ants. Not going to have in heaven. No bullies, broken hearts, bad hair days, none in heaven. Baldness, we throw that one out too. No in heaven, no cancer, no crime, no car trouble, no cavities, no cellulite. No dead ends in heaven. No delays, no dirty dishes, no diapers, no dementia. Well, they're going to be sharp in heaven. No earthquakes. No errors. Did I skip D? No dead ends? No, I did that one. Now, F, failures. No failures. No garbage. No hunger. No irritations. No insecurities. No injustice. No indigestion. None of that will be in heaven. No jealousy. No keys to misplace. Did you know there'll be no lawyers in heaven? No, nothing against lawyers, but there's not going to be any litigation in heaven. No misunderstanding or miscommunication, or mosquitoes in heaven. No nose hair, none in heaven. No neglect, nobody's going to be neglected in heaven. No old age, your resurrected body will be in perfect form and you won't be old and decrepit. There'll be no prejudice in heaven, no political campaigns, and that's one good reason to get there real soon. No quarrels, no racism, no refugee camps, no receding hairlines, and this is a big one, no sales calls. You don't have to get those crank calls on your phone anymore. Matter of fact, you won't have any phones anymore. No traffic. And most of all, no taxes in heaven. There'll be no worry, no wars, no weeds. You won't have to pull weeds anymore. You, X, Y, Z, you get to do those, to think of some things that won't be in heaven. So what do we do when we get to heaven? Well, let me mention two things. You might want to write these down. The first thing that's going to happen in heaven is that we'll be reunited with those who love Jesus. You know, the closer I get to heaven, the more of my friends have already gone there. My parents are in heaven. My grandparents are in heaven. My wife's parents are in heaven. Many of the people that are my classmates are in heaven. Over the last 11 years here at Emmanuel, many of that I have met with and prayed with are now in heaven. And as the years go by, more and more of those who were around me are now in the kingdom of glory. It makes me think more about it. The Bible says there will be one huge family reunion with the Master. That's so reassuring. And so it says, reassure one another with these words, that when somebody dies, you're not going to be alone. You're going to be with all those in the Lord. So let's just ask the question. As you imagine yourself entering heaven, who's the first person you'd like to talk to? Well, of course, it would be Jesus. And you'd speak to Jesus after you worshiped him and got up the courage to talk to him. But then, who would you like to talk to? Would you like to go all the way back to Adam and Eve and find out what life was like before the flood? Would you like to talk to Moses? Or maybe Mary? Or the wise men of your goodly and godly heritage, your great-grandfather, way back? Who might it be? You're going to have all of eternity to ask questions, be with them, and be reunited with those you love. And secondly, you will rule with Christ in heaven. Revelation 22, the throne of God and Jesus will be the heavenly city. And then at the end, it says this, they will reign forever and ever. You will reign and rule with Jesus. As a matter of fact, in the Bible, it says you will judge the angels. Now, what angels are those? Those are the evil angels. On Judgment Day, you're going to be with Christ, and as Christ's child, you're going to be participant in the judging of the angels, the demons. So here's the big thing. Have you settled the heaven issue? Maybe you put it off. Maybe you don't have a certainty as to what will happen when you die. There is no question that you can face that is more profound than this one. Where will you spend eternity? The Lord comes to us again in His goodness and offers us the assurance that with faith in your heart, with trust in your Savior, you can spend that eternity with the Lord forever. The night before Jesus went to the cross, He gathered the 12 closest disciples together to Him, and He said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you to Myself, that where I am, you may also be." And Thomas said to Him, "Lord, we don't know where You're going. We don't know the way." And Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except by Me." I'm betting my life that Jesus is telling the truth. How about you? If you put it off, know that today is the day of salvation, and that you may never be this close to God again. For some reason, I'm in your living room, I'm in your smartphone, I'm on your computer, and on your television right now. For some reason, God has ordained that this might happen at this time. Maybe it's because this is the closest to God you'll ever get. That this is the moment where you can say, "Lord, receive me. Come into my heart. Allow me to believe and trust in that wonderful goodness You've offered, that wonderful promise of eternal life." And once you do that, I want you to contact me. You can get my information on the website, emmanuelclovis.org. PastorEd@emmanuelclovis.org is my email address. Just email me, and I'll send you some literature on how you might grow in Christ. So, the questions come. What about Easter? Doesn't look very promising that we'll have Easter within the confines of this building this year. Now, this one thing I can tell you for a certainty: when we do come together again, it will be Easter. For Christ is risen. He's risen indeed. And He's in our hearts every time we gather together, because He has given us His goodness. And as we heard from Psalm 23, "I know that I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Will you join with me in prayer? Father, we thank You for heaven, and we know that You are a good God. Thank You that when we're tired, You make us lie down in green pastures. That when we're stretched to the limit, You lead us beside the still waters. When we feel like there's nothing left to give, You restore our souls. Thank You that when we're confused, You lead us in the right paths for Your name's sake. And thank You when we go through the troubles and trials and depth of life that even when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we fear no evil because you're going to be with us. Thank you for every single metaphor that conveys the deep truths of your goodness as we looked at them in Psalm 23. Thank you that you prepare a banquet before us in the presence of our enemies, and you show how much you love us even in front of people who may hate us. That you anoint us with this oil that heals our hurts, and that you overflow our cup. That you don't give us just what we need, but you give us more than we need in every area of life. You are a good God. Thank you that surely goodness and mercy are going to be given us as we follow the shepherd, that I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. How can you be that good? Why would you be that good? You love us even when we turn our backs on you. You forgive us and show us your grace. You sent your son to die for us, and you want us to be in love with you and in fellowship with you and to live in your house forever and ever and ever. And so to those who have never opened their lives to Christ, may they do that right now and say, Lord, today this is it. Jesus, I open my life completely to you. I humbly ask you to receive me into your family. I want to be adopted. I want to be born again into your family. And Lord, we seek your divine intervention to bring to a quick end to this pandemic. Please heal the sick and comfort the grieving. May you replace every worry, anxiety, and fear. We ask for strength and protection and energy for our medical professionals, our first responders, and emergency workers. We pray for wisdom, knowledge, and guidance for leaders everywhere. May people look to you to be the source of help, strength, and hope during these unsettling times. In the name of Jesus, we ask these things. Amen.